We are going to be starting with creation. And from there, look on some things and help us understand better the sequence of some events in the Bible. Because of misunderstanding of these sequences, there have been a lot of misrepresenting the Almighty God and His will. Moses was inspired by God. The word inspired means to breathe in. So Moses was inspired by the Almighty God to write the book of Genesis. That's the first book in the Bible. Listen now, the facts, the happenings, the incidents and the events in Genesis was revealed and made known to Moses by God. Because when most of these events took place, the event that are stated in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When these events took place, Moses was not there. In fact, Moses was not even born. In fact, nobody was there. But God, the Holy Spirit and His Son and the angels. So when you and I take up the book and you read Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3, Genesis 4, and then you remember it was written by Moses. Remember, nobody was there when these events took place. Now, we are coming to a point that the statement I'm making will be even more important. But it's important that you and I understand this so that we have a better understanding of the Bible. Moses was not alive. Moses was not even born when any of the things recorded and spoken about in the book of Genesis happened. Somebody didn't hear that. In fact, we're driving, you know, I'm going now at low speed, but we are driving to where we are going to look on what people says about the seventh-day Sabbath. We'll be going to the book of Genesis, where something is said about God rested on the seventh day. And we are going to put that in proper perspective. So we continue that the things recorded, spoken about in the book of Genesis, they all took place when Moses was not even born. In fact, wait. Moses' parents was not born yet. The death of Joseph, who was made slave in Egypt and afterward became governor of Egypt. The death of Joseph is the last major event recorded in the book of Genesis. It is recorded in Genesis chapter 50 and from verse 22.
That is the death of Joseph. And why do I bring up that character? Because Joseph is such a great character in the Bible and in God's scheme of things. Such a great character in God using Joseph for the enhancement of the cause of the Almighty God, as the Almighty God prepared the world for Jesus Christ. Yes, way back there. So you'll find in the last chapter of Genesis, or about there, chapter 50, we read about the death of Joseph. When you and I read about the death of Joseph, this was about 1800 BC. Now, Moses is not going to come around until about 1500 BC. I was about to put something in Genesis. Let me write that down, 4000 BC, that I don't forget to include it in the lesson. That's right. So, as I've said, when you and I read about the death of Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 50, that was some 300 years before the birth of Moses in about 1500 BC. Because, I repeat, the birth, or rather the death of Joseph was about 1800 BC. Moses came along at about 1500 BC. As most, if not all of you know, BC before Christ. Watch here now. The book of Genesis and the book of Exodus were not written until about 1450 years before Christ. Repeat that, Brother Mitchell. The book of Genesis and Exodus were written about 1400 or 1450 BC. That's right. Way down there. And that's going to be important too. Well, let me put that little thing on the board right now, because we are getting there. That is 4000 BC, 4000 years before Christ. Creation. Some theologian, historian put the creation, and these dates are approximate. Some even put it at 6,000 years before Christ, creation. That is, the events that you and I read about in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. Some, as I've said, put it at 6,000 years before Christ. But I'm going to settle with 4,000 B.C., Now, ladies and gentlemen, get this now. The book of Genesis and Exodus, as I've said, were not written until about 1,400, 1,450 years before Christ. Watch here. After Israel left Egypt. I need to repeat that. The book of Genesis and Exodus were written after Israel left Egypt. When Moses was governor in the palace at Egypt, not governor, the prince in the palace of Egypt, he was not at that time knowingly working for God. It was not until he took a stand and was hiding from the pharaohs, and God commissioned him to go to the Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's the time Moses became active for God. It was after Moses led the children. Watch here now. When Moses was fighting, I just use that, wrestling or struggling with the Israelite crossing the Red Sea, Moses didn't have time then to write anything. It's somewhere in the wilderness and about there that Moses wrote. Remember, Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They were not all written the same time. Genesis and Exodus were written first. And that was written about 1,000. As I've said, 1,400 to 1,450 B.C. or before Christ. Notice here now. This was some 2,600 years after creation. That is, this span here, this span. All this span. Creation, approximately about 4,000 BC. Moses did not write Genesis and Exodus until about 1,400 BC. When you take 1,400 from 4,000, you have about 2,600 left. And that time span, what we are showing now is the things that Moses wrote. It's some 2,600 years after they took place. What you and I read in Genesis, a lot of it took place along here, sir. Along here, sir. Moses' parents were not born yet. It was not until some 2,600 years after that God revealed to Moses the event that Moses recorded. May I? The facts, the details of creation, the sequence of things that we have in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, all those detail, the things that God created the first day, the things he created the second day. Moses didn't know that. Wait, 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 wait. I must correct myself. Nobody knew that until the Almighty God revealed that to Moses. Some 2,600 or more years after creation. Wait. Adam did not know it. Because Adam was not there when God created the world. Methuselah did not know it because Methuselah was not there when God created the world. What God did the first day, they didn't know it. And God, from all indication, did not reveal it unto anyone. In fact, I wanted to preach a lesson that is related to this tonight, and that is when the Almighty God commanded Adam and Eve to replenish the earth and subdue it. I had in mind us looking on that. What is implied in subduing the earth? What an awesome privilege and responsibility God gives to man to subdue the earth. But we may not look on that tonight, some other time. Most likely, there's still a chance, but most likely we may have sing out tonight. But may I get back to the sermon before you disturb me? That's right. Yeah. So as I've said, ladies and gentlemen, the things that Moses wrote, Abraham didn't know it. I started with Adam. Noah, who built the ark, didn't know it because God did not reveal those things to them. Lot did not know it because it was not revealed to them. From all indication, verbal expression, our techniques, writing and all of that, probably was not yet invented. In the first few thousand years of the earth, this is why you do not hear of Abraham and Methuselah writing, but you hear of Moses writing. Because by the time Moses came around, civilization like that of Egypt, Mesopotamia, and places like that was well developed. So a lot of the things that God revealed to Moses, these older patriarchs did not know them. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because God did not reveal it to them. The Almighty God dealt with them just and those areas that they need, guided them how to worship, what to offer, etc. So as I've said, the facts and details of creation. What God did the first day. What God did the second day. God resting or ceasing his work on the seventh day. All this. They were not revealed or made known to anyone until it was revealed and made known to Moses after the Israelites left Egypt in about 1450 BC. That was thousands of years after the beginning. And this is why I put here, remember, this is an approximation. Expert archaeologists and other people have a way of giving you or disagreeing with this one, disagree with that one. But the disagreement is not usually far-fetched, and that is the exact date. So I keep pointing out this is an approximation. What is important is that you understand that when Moses got the information from the Almighty God to write, what did God create on the first day? What did God create on the second day? When Moses got that information, that was some 2,500, 2,600 years after those events took place. That God created the land and sea and plant the third day, and that God plant a garden eastward in Eden. All of this was not revealed to anybody until it was revealed to Moses some 2,600 or more years after creation. We hear people talk about the Sabbath was from the beginning. Look here now. What intelligent people who are supposed to be intelligent always forgetting that because Moses at this point, let me stretch it a little, which Moses record or wrote some 2,600 to 3,000 years after creation. Because Moses wrote about the beginning, they just assume Moses was there at the beginning. Moses did not, did they? That's right. And when, watch here now. When Moses wrote about that God rested from his work on the seventh day, that was written in retrospect. Very important. Moses was writing at this point, but he was looking back what took place at this point. Moses was not here. It was way thousands of years after that he wrote about it, that God rested on the seventh day. We are going to read a few passages here in respect to some things. Let us look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 2.
And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, this was written about 1,450 years before Christ. But that fact in respect to what God did took place some 4,000 years before Christ. So when Moses wrote that God finished his work, that is his work of creation, and rested from his work, God had not revealed that to anybody for the next 2,600 or 3,000 years. God did not reveal that to anybody. Wait. You see, that is found where, brother, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, eh? Eh? Now, people go to Genesis 2:2 to say the Sabbath was kept from beginning. I'm going to be going to a few passages at the end of the lesson, and to show you that even in the New Testament, this had nothing to do with man under obligation to keep any Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Nothing. In fact, let me deal with some of it right at this point. We have just read, God ended his work and rested on the seventh day. That's just a statement made. It's simply stating what God did as the creator, with no implication that man is under obligation to rest. Watch me now. Look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
Get what you know? That is simply a statement, a fact, in reference to what God did. That God created man and breathed in him the breath of life. That does not place man under any responsibility or obligation to make man and breathe in him the breath of life. What the brothers just read in chapter 2, verse 7, is just a simple statement stating what God did. Let me give you another one. Chapter 2, verse 8.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed.
May I? That's a simple statement in reference to what God did. It places no responsibility or obligation on man for man to go and plant a garden eastward in Eden. You see? It's just a statement informing humanity what God did. Let me hear 2:9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight.
Here again, it's simply a statement telling us what God did with no hint that man is under obligation to do the same. Let me hear 1:16. Ladies and gentlemen, so you get my swing now. Here is it. We have God made two great lights. That is simply stating what God did. It places man under no obligation or responsibility to make two great lights. The Bible tells us that God made tree to grow out of the ground. That is simply a statement in reference to what God did without placing man under any obligation for man to make tree grow. The Lord God placed a vineyard. That too is just a simple statement. And so is the statement about God ended his work and rested. That has nothing to do with man being placed under any obligation to keep Sabbath. All these passages found between Genesis 1 and 2 are simple statement informing humanity in respect to what God did without placing man under any obligation or responsibility to do the same. So when a person takes up the statement in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, that God ended his work and rested as to imply that that gives us the Sabbath, that is just ignorance. Just pure ignorance. Let us continue. These are all simple statements telling what God did without telling man that man should do then, or without placing man under any obligation to do them, or without imposing or implying that any person, any human being, did any of these simply because God did them. The truth are the facts as to some of the things God did, as I've said and keep saying, that they were kept by God and were not revealed until the Almighty God revealed them to Moses some 3,000 years after those events took place, after Israel left Egypt. We're coming down to the final few points here now in the lesson. While the book of Genesis contains things which took place at the beginning, Genesis was not written at the beginning. Yes, I know I need to repeat that. While the book of Genesis contain things which took place at the beginning, Genesis was not written at the beginning. As I've shown by the chart there, Genesis and Exodus, they were written some 2,600 years or more after God did these things. Look with me now on something here. Look at Psalms 103, verse 7.
Wait,
take time, brother. Are we all there? Psalms 103. He did what?
He made known his ways unto Moses.
He made known. Do you get the drift here? The implication here that these things God made known to Moses was not made known to anybody else. While there are some things God made known to Moses that were also made known to some of the patriarchs, but the detail of creation, the Almighty God kept that to himself until he revealed those things to Israel through Moses. Read it again, brother.
He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel.
That's right. And the implication here is that God kept all these acts of his until it was revealed to Israel through Moses. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12. True verse 14, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12, true verse 14.
Moreover,
Thou
ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar,
Everybody following what that is talking about? Moreover, thou, you God, led them by a pillar of cloud.
And in the night by a pillar of fire.
And in the night by a pillar of fire. Wait, that is talking about Moses and the Israelites. Read.
To give them light.
To give them light. This is when the Israelites were traveling from Egypt to the promised land. Read.
In the way wherein they should go.
Uh-huh.
Thou camest down.
You came down where?
Also upon Mount Sinai.
You came down upon Mount Sinai.
And spakest with them from heaven.
And spake with them from heaven.
And gavest them right judgments. And true laws.
Uh-huh.
Good statutes and commandments.
Uh-huh.
And madest known unto them.
And what, brother?
And madest known unto them.
What, brother?
Thy holy Sabbath.
Somebody didn't get that. You made known unto them the Sabbath. That is some 1,400 years after. Well, rather before Christ, and some 2,600 years after creation. People talk about the Sabbath was kept from the beginning. Who kept the Sabbath? Because the people at the beginning knew nothing about the Sabbath. The people at the beginning knew nothing that God rested, etc., etc. So here you have it. You came down upon Mount
Sinai
and made known. Brother Mitchell, what made known is? Made known mean it was not known before. Everybody get it? And that is some 2,600 years after creation. And this is a conservative figure. It's more probably in the 3,000 years after creation that men were told to keep the Sabbath. But here you have it in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 12 through verse 14. You read verse 14? Okay, let us move on. I love this passage that we are going to. Hebrews chapter 4. We are on the final few passages in the lesson. Let us hear. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6.
Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein.
Mm-hmm.
And they to whom it was first preached, entered not in.
Wait, this is, I love this passage. Listen, the brother Webb read this passage, and to you, it's like it's not saying anything. The passage is saying a mouthful. Listen the passage again. Uh-huh.
For he spake on a certain day, on the seventh day, on this wise.
Wait, is the same passage?
Verse 6.
Wait, and he spake of a certain place. Wait, read that again. He spake at a certain place.
Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore, verse 6, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they
wait, let me hear verse 4.
For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work.
May I, brothers and sisters? Here a New Testament writer taking up Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, and just list it as a statement and took it just like that as it was written by Moses, just as a statement. The inspired New Testament writer who wrote Hebrew placed that as no obligation on man. It's just stated as an act of God. Read on. Yes. Watch here. That is, those to whom it was first preached. Wait, you get the drift? The passage is identifying the people that Joshua did not give rest as the people to whom the Sabbath was first preached. Do we get it? When people come and tell you that the Sabbath was from the beginning, here the Bible is identifying the Israelite. It says, if Jesus had given them rest. That, one is Greek, one is Hebrew. It's Joshua is the character they refer to as Jesus. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have spoken off another day. Wait. Telling me that even when the Israelites kept the seventh-day Sabbath for some 1,400 years, they still did not enter God's rest. That's right. That's what it is implying. Mm-hmm. Even when they kept the seventh-day Sabbath, that is the Israelite, because the Sabbath was given to the Israelite to remind them that they were slaves in Egypt, and God led them out. If you and I were not slaves in Egypt, the seventh-day Sabbath is not for us. Where Brother Mitchell say it was given for that reason. Lord, now let me give you another passage, please. Because I'm wrapping up. But if you want it, I can tell you will read it at your own convenience. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15.
Yes.
That's right. You can go and read it, and it will state plainly why God commanded not every people, but just the Israelite to keep the Sabbath. To remind them that they were slaves in Egypt and the Almighty God emancipate them by a mighty and a stretch out arm. Can I get back now to my sermon? Yes, ladies and gentlemen. So, and those to whom it was first preached. Who is that, Brother Mitchell? The Israelites are the one to whom the Sabbath was first preached. People will tell you that Abraham kept the Sabbath and the Sabbath was kept from the beginning. Kept by who? Because here God's word is telling us that the one that it was first preached to are the Israelites, the people that Joshua didn't give rest. That was verse 6, brother. Let me get down now to verse 8 and 9.
For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken up another day?
You hear? That means the Israelites still did not enter into the Sabbath rest yet. Wait. Lord have mercy. Remain. There remaineth. Remains. May I? Sabbatarian interpret this word meaning when it said there remaineth a rest for the people of God, which mean a rest for God's people is still outstanding. It has not yet come. That's what the remaining. There remaineth a rest. That's why we are Christian. That's why we encourage you to give your life to Christ. Because there is life after death.
it will either be eternal rest or eternal misery. And here the Bible says, there remaineth. That is, it is still outstanding. The rest not come yet.
Yeah.
There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Now is not the time to rest. The rest doesn't come yet. The Sabbath doesn't come yet. It is still outstanding. Read now, brother, where you stop for.
There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God.
You understand that? That means when our rest comes, the same way God finishes work and cease from that work, we will cease from the toil and the ups and downs of life. What verse is that? I want verse 11, I think, too. Woy, woy. You see? Brother, have you here? One denomination is telling people,
rest.
Now is the time to
rest.
Rest, eh?
Mm-hmm.
But God is saying, now is the time to
let us
labor. Ah, you notice the contrast? Mm-hmm. Now is the time to work for Jesus Christ. Now is not the time for Sabbath and rest. The passage cannot be plainer. In fact, this passage of Hebrews chapter 4, I find it a loaded passage.
Mm-hmm.
It has so much truth in it. It identifies the people to whom the Sabbath was first preached. That's awesome. Then it tells us if the Israelite had really entered the Sabbath that God wanted to give his people, then God would not have spoken of another Sabbath. But it says Joshua did not give them that rest. Even when they were keeping the 7-day Sabbath, they still did not enter God's rest. Let us labor therefore. Ooh. Somebody didn't hear that. Let us work, Christian. Now is the time to work for Christ. Anybody fool you that you are to keep Sabbath, they are deceiving you. Because this is not the time to keep Sabbath. God's word says this is the time to work. If I end this sermon without sharing one more passage, I must. I'm anxious to finish this lesson, but one passage I must, because it is also another loaded. Turn with me, brother, to the book of Genesis. I think it is chapter 2 and verse 3. Just that one passage, I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3.
And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
For in it he had
rested from all his work.
B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Yes. I know that should be there. I want you to notice something here.
Very important, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. Very important. Get ready your invitation song, Michael. And God bless the Sabbath day. Bless is the simple past tense. For in it he had rested. Watch here though. When God rested from his work on the seventh day, that did not make the day a blessed day. Very important. I need to repeat that. When God rested, as stated in Genesis chapter 2, that God finished his work and rested, that God rested did not make the day a blessed day. The tense, the two tense describing the bliss and the rest shows that he had rested took place separate and differently from the blessing. The past perfect tense had, he had rested. This took place before. That's why it is past perfect tense. You see, perfect means the thing is completed. It's a done deal. It finished. God had rested. That's why had. Perfect tense. This is the simple past tense. This blessed the Sabbath took place after God rested. That's why the two different tenses there. So when people come and tell you, God rested on the Sabbath, and imply like, because God rested, the day was a blessed day. No. The two actions took place different time. And that's why you have two tenses to describe it. The past perfect tense had rested, and the simple past tense blessed. It. The blessing came after.
That's right.
After.
And God blessed the seventh day.
And God blessed the seventh day. The seventh day. Because in it,
he had rested.
That means the had rested took place before. The blessed day is another action that took place another time. Thank you. If you have questions on any aspect of this lesson, you can come tonight. You can come, be prepared that by the show of your hand when the opportunity is given, the mic will be brought to you wherever you are seated so that you can either seek the clarification you are seeking or asking the question you are asking. You can also, if you will not be able to make it tonight, you can phone us at the church telephone number 933-5550. We'll be glad to accommodate your question and to help you understand God's word better. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are here today, if you have never become a Christian, the Bible's way, we are not talking about a church membership. If you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, the Church of Christ today tells you The same thing Paul or Peter would have told you in the first century. You have to hear the truth of the gospel. You have to believe the truth of the gospel. You have to repent of your sin. You have to confess Christ's name, and you must be baptized for the removal of your sin and Christ's command. We can help you today to carry out your obedience to Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary and paid a price for your sin. As we stand and sing, Jesus Christ calls you to repentance, to confessing his name, and to getting baptized for the removal of your sin. As we stand.